This episode brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
It's the corner where the troops at.
Is this the passing of the torch, right? Is this what this signifies?
It comes down to that front office and what they feel is most important.
The champ is here. We've touched down from a higher plane. Why you in it here?
We always look forward to that week because it was always intense. You know that we ain't
coming back. We about to. The man, the myth, the legend, Dante Hall. My favorite player growing up was Dante Hall. I love you guys and show, but Dante was my guy.
Get to dashing because you're done on the war feet.
This episode of Chief Concerns is brought to you by BetOnline.ag. Marcus Dash here. And ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you, this is the best time of the year. Our Chiefs may not be playing right now, but you got NHL playoffs, NBA playoffs, even though my Sixers are unfortunately out. But still, a lot of stuff to be bet on. BetOnline is your number one source for all your summer sports this season. From MLB, golf, NBA, and NHL playoffs. All the latest stats, news, and scores are available to follow your favorite teams. Get the latest odds, lines, including the latest team matchups, player props, and odds on just about every sport out there. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to get in on the action. Remember, bet online where the game starts. Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Chief Concerns. I'm Marcus Dash here with legendary Chiefs tight end Jason Dunn. And tonight, I'm in Los Angeles with the guy, my brother Tayshia Dash. Yeah, the two Dash brothers are together tonight.
Dash and Dash.
Wow, man. I thought something was wrong with my screen for a minute there. I'm just like, hold on, wait a minute. Something is not.
Actually, we're lying, JD. He just photoshopped me in. Pretty cool, right? Technology is crazy.
It is. Teleporting than talking. That's.
Yeah, I'm good with the editing, but not that good.
Yeah, not good. Real time.
It's good to be with this guy. When we're doing our shows during the season, he's usually in a different room than me. We just do it in separate areas. Yeah. But, you know, since it's schedule release week, we thought we'd be together for this one.
Oh, awesome. Okay. All right. And I see a lot of love there. I do. You know, when you have brothers, a big brother like that, man, you just can't help but love them, right? They taught you a whole lot in your life. You know, might have picked on you a little bit, but you always looked up to them, right? And so I could see that radiating off of you, Marcus, just the love that you have for Tayshia. Tayshia, the same thing. I can see you right now just giving him a hit, a nugget right now. Just,
you know, bro, huh? Should I? No, you already told me not to. My hair is how I want it to be. Don't mess with it.
Oh, yeah. He's got good hair right now.
But we see the chat's pretty lively right now. We got some familiar faces. Johnny C., John Clifford, I'm the Browns on. Gary Holland, of course, Chief First 65, Toss Power Trap is on. About time. We got a packed house tonight, boys.
Good. There we go. What's up, folks? How's it going? Everybody, Charles, Gary, Chief 65, I'm the Brown, John Clifford. Chad Bird, Word. What's going on, Neff? Word. Who else we got in here? You said packed house. We got about time. So, yeah, all our families are here. This is Chief Concerns family.
Yes,
good
sir.
To see y'all as always. Good to see y'all as always.
So everyone's ready to go after seeing the schedule come out finally. It's been slowly leaking since our show on Monday. It's been slowly leaking, but Now it's all out there. Now we know what the path looks like to get to that three-peat, baby. We know what the path looks like. And tonight, in this episode tonight, we're going to do a full kind of look at, what we think is the most exciting matchup, where the schedule makers may have gone wrong with their schedule. And then obviously, some of the
some of the overall takes from what we've seen over the with the schedule that came out just a couple hours ago. So, and then also we're gonna do a very super early. I know JD likes doing his predictions when we get closer to it, but just for fun, for shits and giggles, we're gonna do it tonight. A very super early prediction of what we see as we see right now. Obviously, a lot can change and over training camp and everything. So we got a lot going on tonight.
Pressure right there, man. Don't put me on the spot, Marcus. Golly. Immediately, huh? Just coming out the gate, JD. What you got for us, huh?
Yep.
You predicted. So I think I could rise to the occasion. I got something for us, I think. So let's get it. Let's get it going, man. TGLTN. Lewis Cuthbert. Hello, my man. How's everything going? So yeah, man, it's gonna be a good show tonight. Hope y'all go ahead and tune in. Give us some questions, engage with us. We love doing that. So man, let's get it started. Let's get this thing popping.
Let's do it. So with the first topic, so right below I have it, look at the schedule right now. I'll just quickly run through if you're not looking at the schedule. So week one, we are hosting the Ravens. Week two, we got Bengals. Week three, Falcons. Week four, Chargers. Week five, Saints. Bye week six. Then we go to week seven. We got Niners. Week eight, we got Raiders. Week nine, we got the Bucks. Week 10, we got Broncos. Week 11, Bills. Week 12, Panthers. Week 13, Raiders. Week 14, Chargers. Week 15, Browns. Week 16, Texans. Week 17, Steelers. And we finish off the season with the Denver Broncos for the second time. So just based on initially looking at the schedule, I know we're going to get into most excited about, where the schedule makers went wrong later on in the show. But just based off your initial reactions when you look at the schedule, What stands out to you as far as your overall takes from what you see from the schedule?
What stands out to me? I tell you what stands out to me is that this is not going to be an easy road. This is some very, very high caliber teams that we are playing. And so I've seen some teams on here who have gotten better from the draft, what they acquired in free agency as well. But I do see that this is – the task that the Chiefs need to destroy, okay? If you want this three-peat, you're going to have to earn it this year. There's no question about it. And so we come straight out the gate, man. We're talking about the Ravens. Then we got the Bengals, right? I mean, it's just – and so our two nemesis, pretty much in the AFC that we're thinking of, right? Joe Burrow, you know, Lamar. What are you going to do with those guys? And we've heard people talk noise and mess online. I think you even had somebody come at you, Marcus, talking about, stop tough talking him a little bit and he trying to flex his muscles on YouTube, on the comments. I'm like, man, come on, man. Like, look, if you like the guys, you like the guys, whatever. You know what I mean? So neither one of us are playing. None of us are throwing a ball. We ain't making a tackle, but we do love our teams. And I think we have a superior team to a lot of the teams that we're playing this year. Every team that I've seen out there is beatable. I don't fear anyone, no one at all. But it is going to be a tough road. Everybody's going to be, I'm telling you, they're going to be shooting for us. And so we got to be ready for it. I think we will be. I think we're up to the task. So that's the first thing that jumps out to me, man, is how challenging this schedule really is. So.
Yeah, no, I agree. It is. And right off the gate, I think is what it stands out the most. You got Baltimore and Cincinnati. I think those two, right, that combination. And even, JD, playing Atlanta, I know Atlanta's got a new quarterback over there. He's recovering from the Achilles. But we're going to Atlanta and we're playing that team who actually, I mean, they weren't that bad last year. If they even had, like, marginal quarterback play, that team's in the playoffs. Right. They just didn't have that last year. Now you're bringing a guy, Kirk Cousins, who all he does is, he's a, I would say more, a little more glorified game manager. And he can't put the team on his back. He does make a few mistakes here and there that game managers like Alex Smith didn't. So he does take more chances, I would say. But that's a good quarterback to have in that system over there, and they have weapons. So that's right at the gate. I think you're right. Coming out, it's a very tough schedule from the jump. So I do agree in that sense, JD. Mm-hmm. My thing, I'll let you get to it after this, but the thing that stands out to me more so than anything else, you talk about the front half of that schedule, how hard it is. I'm looking at the back half of the schedule being very, very easy. Not easy, but because I never want to say in the NFL, JD, I know you hate when people say things are easy. It's never easy. But just looking at the teams that were playing, so we finished up the season, last seven games. We got Carolina, Raiders, Chargers, Browns, Houston, Pittsburgh, and Denver. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven teams, four of the seven teams didn't make the playoffs last year. So that's four of the seven teams that were playing at the final stretch of the season after we go through the gauntlet of the first half of going against Buffalo, San Francisco, Baltimore, Cincinnati. Once that's out of the way, we were talking about majority of the last seven, majority of the teams didn't even make the playoffs last year. And obviously it's a new year, so we don't know what this team's going to be by that point. But just looking at it from right now, these are teams at Carolina. We don't know how Bryce Young is going to look this year. We don't know how Las Vegas is going to look, who's going to be their quarterback. No one knows. And then Chargers, that's a completely different staff. They cut pretty much everybody on that offense. So there's going to be a lot of retooling over there, and that could be at least a one-year rebuild for what Harbaugh wants to build over there. So that's something that really stands out to me. Pittsburgh, you can never count out Tomlin. They made the playoffs last year, but again, new quarterback situation over there. Is it Fields? Is it Russ Wilson? Who knows? But I mean, by that point, it's the second to last game of the season, so they probably know who their guy is by that point. But I think that's what stands out to me, the back half of the season being pretty pretty chill, I would say, as the kids say.
Yeah. Chill with four playoff teams, man. That shows you how hard our schedule is.
Yeah, for sure.
Four to seven did not make the playoffs.
Of
the last seven.
I was doing half and half.
Yeah, the back seven.
Okay.
Four of the seven did not make the playoffs.
But if you split it up half and half, it's 4-4.
Yeah.
Brutal.
That's why I picked the seven.
Marcus did one of those ESPN stats.
Yeah, I know.
So those bottom line ESPN stats.
Out of the three, they lost two. And I mean, you know.
Yeah, if you take the last three games and then right. back half of the third quarter, they are the best defense in the league.
Right, yeah.
The back seven.
Still, though, I mean, it's a hard schedule. I mean, it's yeah. Mm-hmm. I think that's just obvious, right?
So, Jay, what are your thoughts on the back seven being, you know.
Well, I think we understand this is the NFL. Nothing is easy. And so what I do see of that, the seven teams that I'm looking at, you have very capable coaches, some really good coaches that do a good job of, like, you know, getting guys prepared, especially in the second half of the season. So those are the guys you really don't want to see, like a Mike Tomlin, right? And you had to see Sean Payton. So we're talking about, man, you know, the Texans. I mean, we're talking about some heavy hitters there. Cleveland's got a really good team. We know they got a legit squad. And so these guys, the Chargers, you got Harbaugh there now. And I think I sent out a tweet about Harbaugh. You know, I'm just sitting in the restaurant just watching the game, and I'm just like, huh, look at Jim just go at it. You know, he's going crazy on the sideline and throwing stuff. And his headset is coming off. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to love this guy to be back. So now he's back in our division. I love everything about it. He's, I know the Harbaughs. You know, I know John. I know his dad better. I know Jim. Yeah, I met Jim a few times. We actually had him come up and spoke at our Kentucky Pro Football Hall of Fame. His dad is like a legend, coaching at Western Kentucky University. Great guy. They're a wonderful family. Just some really good-hearted people, people that you want in your corner when you're playing with them and whatnot. That's the type of people they are. So when I seen Jim, I'm like, you know, Jim, we know he's successful with San Fran. I mean, he's taking them up there, right, with that crew that he had. We got Randy Moss played for San Fran. I'm like, there's Randy Moss, right? Still yeah. Moss folks out there. But then also we know what he brings from Michigan, and he's ready to come here. And we could talk about rebuilding in a year. He's trying to win right now. That's his style.
Yeah.
He comes from a family that we're attacking immediately. We're not trying to wait one or two years down the road. I came to take a team to the championship, beat the Chiefs, because we're in that division right now. And so when I'm looking at this schedule, the last seven, man, I mean, this shoot, Vegas is going to be ready. Antonio Pierce, you know, hey, man, I respect Antonio a lot. He's going to have those guys rocking. You've seen how they was playing for him last year. Yep. You know, we lost to those guys. So this is not going to be easy task for us. I think just looking at the teams in itself, what we have as far as talent-wise, I think we have better talent in certain positions than they do, okay? And that's going to be the challenge, right? We're matching up with each other, you know, Joe against Joe, man against man. And I'm looking at it. I just think that we went out. We got Spags, we got Andy, you know, we got Patrick Mahomes, you know, we got the MVP. We know who we have. We got these guys who are the elite of the elite in the NFL, right? Travis Kelce, Chris Jones on the other side. But it's everybody else around there picking up. So I think we'll be able to do that, man. So what do y'all think about, you know, what I said?
Yeah, I agree with you. I do think it's – that's why I picked the last seven to talk about it being the worst or whatever. Like, you know, the easy backup comparatively to if you look at the first half of the season. Because, mm-hmm. I mean, it's night and day. I mean, who are the gauntlet we're going by. The second half, there's a lot of question marks there. Yes, they have good
– This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save, too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
Coaches, but there's still some question marks there, whether it be it who's their quarterback. Because the Raiders, Pierce is there. The team rallied around him. Is it going to be Minshew? Is it going to be O'Connell? Also, too, with the way we you know, kind of let our guard down against them last year and it kind of woke us up for the Super Bowl, I feel like every Raider game next year, we're going to be on high alert for those games because of how that Christmas Day game went last year. Cleveland, Watson, I mean, he's yet to play a full season with them yet. So, I mean, what's going to happen with that? And their defense was great last year, but, I mean, there's so many question marks surrounding it. They're also saying there's potential that if Cleveland doesn't make the next step this year, they could go away from their head coach too. So there's going to be that kind of narrative also in there as well. Houston, Stroud, second year. There's always potential of a sophomore slump. I don't think it's going to happen with him, but there's always a potential of that. Pittsburgh, Tomlin. There's been rumblings of him possibly leaving Pittsburgh over the last few years. Every year they always say that. I don't think it's going to happen. But with the Russ Wilson, Justin Fields thing, that's interesting. That whole mix there is interesting to me. And at Denver, we'll see how Bo Nix looks. I need to see what Bo Nix looks like to man that ship over there. And then a lot of changeover on the defense as well with that team. So I do hear what you're saying, especially with Harbaugh. There's a lot of good coaches on the end, but Carolina, they have a new head coach as well. Bryce Young didn't look good last year. So there's so many things on that end of the schedule where it's like, it's question marks there. But I do agree. At the end of the day, good coaching and the players and the vets overcome all. So I do agree in that respect, whether it's easy or not, we have the fellows and the team to overcome whatever they were thrown at.
And the best team arguably is the Texans, and we know how the NFL works. I mean, Stroud's a stud, but 1 year with defensive coordinators to break down his film, he might have some sophomore slumpy in him, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Uh-huh. It's weird to say it's not going to be as easy as his rookie season, but it's not. You give a whole year of film on a guy.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
So I look at it like this. Okay. And I know sophomore slump is a thing. I actually was kind of affected by it. And I'm going to tell you how it happened. This is kind of what happens with your sophomore slump is that you have relatively success your first year, right? And I'll speak for me. And you've kind of like, all right, I understand what the NFL is all about. Okay. This is what I want to do. This is who I want to become. And so you bring a little bit of this arrogance with you. And so what happens is if you start to struggle because you're pressing, you're trying to press to be even better than what you were, that you become critical on some of the things that you do. Maybe question your decision-making. And you know, it's like, okay, maybe everything's not as crisp. Well, it's a different type of pressure that you have on you. And there's, you know, now you kind of change your mindset into the realm of like, now I've arrived. Now I'm here, right? And so something happens. And I think Stroud is, you know, it's good that he has a coach who's been who's played before, who understands like having a balance to yourself helps out a lot. Not to mention everybody else he has around him too, as far as wide receivers. They can make him look good if he makes bad throws. That's the thing about it. Hey, look, just throw it up to us. We'll go get it, right? Nico Collins, hey, throw it. We'll make the catch. That's going to help out tremendously. Not to mention you got Joe Mixon. You got the West Lambert behind you too, Damon Pierce. So he has guys that are around him that can help protect him a little bit from that sophomore slump. But in just kind of going through, I think just kind of looking at the schedule, Carolina is the one I think you could kind of like, okay, these guys are going to take a while to get there, right? Everybody else, Las Vegas Raiders, they're going to be licking their chops. Every chance they get to hit and prove that they're better than us, they're going to try to do. And they're going to do, I'm telling you, they're going to be gnawing, biting at your ankles, knees. I mean, they're going to get in people's faces. That's Antonio Pierce. They're going to embody who he is in every single snap and play. Right, that's what he was telling them during Christmas Day. That he was telling them this. I want y'all to play like me. When y'all go out there, we are not giving them anything. We're not letting them take a break. We're in their face all the time. We're bringing pressure. We're hitting them. I don't care if you go by me, don't touch them. You touch them anyway. That's his mentality. And so imagine having that from day one, from the jump. They're starting it straight in training camp, what they're going to be doing. Okay. So they come in with a whole type of vigor in this whole madness, what they're going to be doing, especially for the game. Same thing with the Broncos. Look, Bo Nix, I've heard reports that he's slinging the ball out there. That's what I heard. I heard he's been doing a hell of a job. I'm like, dang, God. I mean, they're talking about how great his arm strength is like that. He's the real deal. So we've seen success in college. We know he's a good quarterback. He's with probably one of the better coaches in the league as far as quarterback-wise. If not, I would even say he's probably right up there with Andy as far as getting guys developed. Sean Payton, you know, I know Sean. He was a quarterback coach when I was up here in Philly. So he's been doing this thing for a long time. He knows his stuff. And so this is going to be a challenging schedule, man. I'm telling you. And look, we're every single week, we got to go in and bloody people's noses. Every single week. That's our mentality has to be, because if we want this three-peat, we cannot let up at no point. We cannot take anybody for granted. And we need to understand that every single week is a battlefield, more than what it was last year, right? People didn't really come. They didn't see us coming. You know, we had bad receivers, right? They talked about everybody, you know, butter hands, and they're not really catching it. So the Chiefs had a down year. Then everybody started looking past us, right? Every single person that we played in the playoffs, they're going to beat the Chiefs. Miami, Bills, Ravens, they're gonna crush them. And so what Patrick did is, boop, pick one off, boop, pick two off, boop, pick three off, we're in the Super Bowl. Oh, there's no way San Fran's going to be able to beat Patrick Mahomes and, the San Fran. There's no way Patrick Mahomes is going to be able to beat those guys. We got more firepower over here. Didn't happen. And then before you know it, we holding it up. holding the trophy up like it should. And it came to the place where it needed to come. Yep. This year, completely different, man. And I hope the guys don't feel the pressure. This is the thing, man. I mean, this is a three-peat. So it's never been done before. It's almost like we had to go to, like, Miami Dolphins. Every year they're looking at who's going to be the undefeated team, right?
Yeah.
Who's going to be this? So – the Chiefs have a chance to go down in history as that team, that the only team to be able to have a three-peat in the NFL, right? Yep. Since its inception. So I just, man, this is going to be a good one. I'm excited, as y'all can tell, man. I could talk about this all day.
How much bigger can our target get, you know?
Yes, exactly. Right.
It's pretty massive already.
It is. Not to mention, man, all the mess around us, right? All this stuff is going on around us, and they're gonna look. Players are gonna talk smack on the field. Oh, what are we? Okay, Rasheed Rice, what is he doing? Is he out there driving fast? Is he? You know, they're gonna be saying everything. Yeah. So, we just can't buy into it, man. It's got to be an unbelievable level of focus and preparation when you're playing these teams, man, because it's, like I said, man, it's not easy. I like to say, hey, the Chiefs are going to go undefeated, but I'm looking at this. There's going to be some teams, man, that, I mean, shoot, we know San Fran. I mean, come on. I'm looking at this thing, man. I would just say, I had to say that we probably have the hardest schedule, if not one of the hardest schedules. I don't even know. I haven't seen everybody else's. You know how everybody does where the schedule lies and difficulty? Yeah. I don't even know where we start, where we're at, but I know the way I'm looking at it right now, this ain't an easy schedule by no means.
Yeah, I'm curious to see what the where they have as a strength of schedule going into this season. Tajay, so what are your takeaways from
You know what?
Yeah.
Well, first let me say that I love that I'm a Chiefs fan. Okay. I'm thankful to be a Chiefs fan. But I hate that my team is being used as bait to buy every single streaming service known to man. Here's your Christmas gift. Open it up. It's the Chiefs game. Oh, wait, you have to get Netflix for that. I also feel like we're the top performer at the office, who everyone just thinks is like this machine that just will not stop. So the owners of the company just throw everything on our plate because they know we'll just deliver every time. So of course the clients love us. We have a really important Netflix account. Who are we going to put on it? Well, Chiefs, they're asking for you by name. So the account's going to go to you guys. Oh, okay. A team has to play on six different networks. I think it's the Chiefs because you guys always come through. We need three games in 10 days. Who can we trust? Let's give it to the Chiefs. They always come through for us. Yeah. We need a team to play 6 out of 7 days of the week. Who do we do? Who go to for that? Well, let's just go for the Chiefs. So I think it's a lot of, and I get it, right? We have a lot of different demographics rooting for us now. We have a lot of new fans that we brought into the NFL. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of responsibility. And it's just a lot to shoulder and it's awesome. I love being that team that everybody loves and loves to hate. Yeah. But at the same time, man, sometimes I just want to, I want to go back to the days of tuning in and watching my team at 1 PM. You know what I mean? Like what happened to that? You look at this, it's like, it's our schedule is like the clock. We play it every single hour. Like, on the clock, and it's just, it's cool. But at the same time, like, you seriously have to be like, you have to have like 4 different streaming services to be able to watch us play, 4 to 5, I think. On top of the ticket, if you don't live in Kansas City. So at the same time, you'll get a lot of the local games, cause that's just how it goes. We get a lot of like the national games that are on television, but then all the prime timers, you have to pay for all that, which again, I'm not going to complain cause I love being that team, but it's just, that is a downside. That's one of the main takeaways I saw from it. I was like, man, what is all this, dude? Like, I have to actually being a normal NFL fan, you don't need to like set a calendar around when your team plays. You just know it's on Sunday. For us, it's like every day of the week there's a different day we're playing. Every week, I mean. So it's just that part was a little annoying to me, but you know, if that comes along with winning, then I'll take it.
Look, man, we're victims of our own success. We understand this, right? And the NFL has learned and understood, like you said, you're absolutely right. We brought in more fan base, probably more haters now, more people are hating on the Chiefs. So you know how to monetize and prioritize, you know, let's profit off these guys, okay? Let's put the big, bad, the Grim Reaper out there, okay? Let's put Travis Kelce that everybody hates because he drinks beer at graduations and he's dating the biggest pop star in the history of you know, entertainment, right? Yep. And let's hate him because of his politics and his things on fire. So he's the antithesis of everything that sometimes, it, you know, people call whatever holy, if you will, right? Mm-hmm. I don't know. Whatever the reason people hate on the Chiefs, you know, and I get it. People want to see new winners. I got tired. I was the first one to admit I got tired of seeing New England win, being in the playoffs. I was absolutely fed up with it.
Yep.
Like, yeah, Lee, anybody else but these guys. Okay. And I had a cousin who was, you know, he was right up there from Massachusetts. And he would just sit back and just glow. Boy, this, he just loved it. He loved it. And I hated the smug look he had on his face. So we're those guys now. We're those guys, fellas. That's who we are. We're the smug-looking champion Chiefs. That's what it is, okay? And so...
Are you a big fan of the movie Stand By Me, JD?
I am.
Definitely. There's a scene in that story he tells where Lardass gets the entire place to start puking on each other. Remember that? Nope. You remember he's just sitting back with his arms crossed while he pees himself with throw up everywhere? That's like, that's pretty much like me for the past few seasons.
Yeah. You're just looking at his work.
It's like blueberry throw up everywhere.
Oh my gosh.
But he's just so happy with his result, his product.
Wonderful scene.
That's how I feel when looking at our YouTube comments when we have Ravens and Bengals. We have Ravens and Bengals fans commenting on our stuff after beating them and showing the receipts like we did last year.
Man, I mean they are on it fast, and I'm amazed at how many, like when we do our stuff, how many Raven fans or Cincinnati fans coming on mentions and just immediately get on.
Oh, geez.
Yeah, it is. I'm saying, man, relax, calm down a little bit. You know what I mean? So,
and we were very respectful. We spoke highly of Baltimore in our show. I thought for, you know, being two Chief guys who beat them when everyone had it was picking against us last year, you and I were very, very, very nuanced right there and objective with the whole Ravens Chiefs Week One game. So anybody was mad about that. There were some Ravens fans who loved what we said. But there were some who came at us like, okay, you know what, like. I guess your team, but like we were.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
We were very objective with that whole thing. We spoke highly of Lamar. We didn't trash anybody on that team. We just said you lost some guys. And like when I mentioned they lost Geno Stone, the guy who led the league in interceptions last year, like, well, he was a backup. Why are you bringing him up? Well, he was a backup regardless. He still produced enough to lead the league in interceptions. So, I mean, it doesn't matter. You lost that guy. So just because you plug and play anybody there, I mean, it's just, you can't win with people sometimes.
So I'm looking over here at some, a little bit of the chat, man. Everybody's, I love it. 14-3. Gary has 14-3. You know, Lewis has 12-5, 13-4. I think to me that's a good indication. I think that's where we're going to be, right? I think we're going to be somewhere around there. I don't think we lose anything more than five. You know, I haven't said that, for quite some time now.
Yeah.
Just because of the caliber guys that we have, we pretty much got some new pieces, certain places, of course, and some questions, a little bit of questions. I seen one reporter and she was saying like, the Chiefs don't have any holes anywhere. I'm just like, not necessarily true, right? There are some concerns, right? Chief concerns, there's some concerns that we talked about that I think should be noted. Right, I'm just not gonna give and say the Chiefs are perfect in what they're doing. You know, we talked about the defensive line, which might be somewhat of a challenge for us, right? Because Charles Minnehu is not back yet. We still got to wait for King Felix how he's gonna look. We got Mike Dana, of course. We brought him back, which is a great choice. And then we got Kolaftis. So we got guys that can come up. Are they gonna be able to hold up until Charles gets back? Same thing. We got the best defensive tackle in the league, Chris Jones. the other guys that's right there beside him, they need to show up as well, right? That's reality of it. We know we got a good corner, all pro guy in McDuffie, okay? We have him. The question is, I think Jalen Watson, I think he's a guy that's going to be able to come in. Joshua Williams, he's a guy that's going to be able to come in. I think these guys are going to be able to do it. Still a little question, can they do it consistently, right? Can they get what Snead did? I think they could. People are going to test it out. I guarantee it. They will test it immediately. Stay away from McDuffie. Let's go to the young guys, okay, who has less experience. No question about it. So that's going to be some of the things. Offensively, right, left tackle. All right, who are they going to have? So we got two guys, second-year player, a rookie over here at left tackle. Like I said before, right tackle, guy who had the most, penalties, offensive lineman in the league. That's going to be some of the question. And I've seen other people same thing. Oh, well, we got Pacheco. Yeah, but, I never really heard people talk about the durability of Pacheco until really now, the concern of it. I think Pacheco is going to be fine. I don't think people are as optimistic about the backup as I am. I like CEH. I think CEH will be a good change of pace. Other people are not okay with that. Now, I'll let y'all can tell me what y'all think. I see Tage over there. So, Tage, I know, I don't know where you sit with it, but I let you talk about it. But other than that, I think we running back will get another guy, of course. I think our line is kind of straight. So, go ahead, man.
I actually told you the other day you were saying Imani Bailey reminds you of Priest Holmes, and he kind of thought you got a good laugh at
a little. Well, I mean, remind me of, come on,
Remind you of, yeah. I'm about to spit out my water. I'm like, what? Priest Holmes?
I mean, his strengths, when you read his scouting report, they are a lot of Priest Holmes' strengths.
Okay.
Like, Priest didn't have, Priest had a good burst.
Yes.
And good at getting away, but he wasn't like a long stride sprinter. Like he didn't have the Jamal Charles long speed, but he can get away. He can accelerate past people and get away from people.
Oh yeah, outrun him. Yeah, there's hardly too many people I've ever seen. I don't even think. Priest got out. I didn't really see a whole lot of people run him down. Larry definitely not. Okay, Jamal definitely not. But Priest was one of those once he got to the second level, couple cuts. He's gone. He starts that little Priest gallop. So
they're around the same size. They have both have great vision, and they're both hard as hell to bring down.
Okay.
Priest is a little grease pig. They used to call him a little grease pig.
Oh yeah, he's silky, man. He'd make people miss.
You couldn't grab him. That jersey was so tight.
The joke was mostly made it that way. That's kind of what it looks like right here to me, with the bulls now. So, hey.
But the thing, we're talking about CEH before we move on to the next topic. I think that hopefully we talked about this, and I don't know if they will at this point, fifth year in. Hopefully they actually utilize him to his strengths now that McKinnon doesn't look like he's going to be back on the team, and it looks like we could actually use him more out of a passing kind of back out of the backfield with McKinnon not being there now. Hopefully they kind of go back and kind of utilize those strengths, because what he was amazing at in college was being able to catch the ball out of the backfield as well, as well as running out of the backfield. But his one of his strong suits was being able to catch. They provided LSU offense a little bit of something outside that wasn't the receivers they had there, Chase or Jefferson. Mm-hmm. He provides a little bit more to that offense, and that was, catch the ball in the backfield. And hopefully they can utilize that. Hopefully Andy can finally whip up some Brian Westbrook stuff. But what are your thoughts on CH now in year five?
I mean, I'm not enamored with CEH. I'm not gonna lie. I think he can fill a role. I think he can fill a role. And I think the lack of our running back addition speak to how much faith and how much, love we have in Pacheco, really. I don't want him to wear down. I don't want it to become a durability issue. So we might have to use CEH a good amount, right? Or maybe one of the other guys step up in training camp and look great. I want him to be effective all season. As in Pacheco. So CEH maybe has to get a little more of those
pass catching downs.
I hope so.
And maybe he revamped his career a little bit last year, right? He didn't have a whole lot of wear and tear on him. He got a little bit more confidence back. He was able to make some good moves, had some good games for us, you know, stepped up, jumped over that one guy. I'm like, okay, this is what I like to see, you know, and that's confidence. And so maybe he turns into the guy that you want to rely on.
You right? want him to be.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, so I want everybody to be wrong about him. I think I'm right about CGH. I like his game. I think if you do add that element on to, like, throwing the ball to him out the backfield, Marcus, he becomes absolutely dangerous. That is vital. They said that Carson Steele got, okay? Now, I've been looking at this. I know we talked about him on Monday. He could be a guy that could be – he could do either one, right? He could be the fullback. He could be running back. He's got some talent that he could tote the rock if you need to. He could be that guy because he plays special teams. He's one of those guys that will give you something. Okay, he's not just your typical fullback. He actually has skill set. He can make guys miss. He can get you some yards, some tough yards. So he's a tough kid, and I like that. I like it because he is physical, and he can catch the ball out the backfield. So. He's a good mix. I got to give some attention to my guy because he's been saying it. Green Man, I am a rugby fan. LRZ, Lewis Reese Zammit, LRZ. Where are we gonna put him? Now he could be the other guy. He could be somebody to get the ball to. Marcus, where you turn here?
I don't want to rain on Green Man's parade here if he hasn't watched our shows in the last few weeks. Agreement. I know he's a badass at rugby. I'm not taking away anything away from that, from LRZ. I hope he's a badass. I want to see it in pads. I want to see him doing training camp. I want to see him doing it in preseason before I can say, hey, he's going to be a badass for us. Because, you know, and the thing I love about it, a rugby guy, he can tackle. He can do a lot of things that special teamers do. And I don't think – a lot of people think that, oh, he's going to come in and be this Dante Hall type of guy. It's like, no, I mean, I am not expecting that. I'm expecting him to maybe contribute – well, I mean, Dante Hall, but people think he's going to be this amazing return man. And
yeah, no, I'm like, for people saying that, calm down a little bit, you know.
Yeah, I just want to see him do it when it's not just a jugs machine kicking the ball to him. I want to see actual punter kicking the ball into it in real time. Heck, I want to see it in training camp. I just want to see it happen then when there's actually some
live stuff live action.
Live action. I want to see that. I don't want to see it on air just catching jugs punts. So yeah, I want to see him tackle. Return, do all the things in preseason. Then we can talk about him potentially being a difference maker offensively and special teams before we can even talk about that. That's all. So, Green Man, I hope you're right. I hope you're right. I hope you're right, dude.
We're not going to ask him to kick. We got guys for that. So we're not going to ask him unless it's a fake. We do a fake maybe, you know, and you can set it up. I could use it something like that, right? Like put him in. Oh, fake run. Let him kick it if it's not something too hard. So – yeah. Who said Gary Hollis said Larry Johnson had one good year? What? Gary, come on, man. One good year?
Gary.
Ah. Ooh, that's wrong. That's wrong.
Yeah. LJ is a bad rap because, you know, some he tweets stuff that people don't agree with and just think it's kind of a little wacky sometimes. But at the end of the day, you can't take away what he was, and he was a phenomenal running back. I mean, he was amazing, and yeah, he didn't have one good year. And his first year, he wasn't even the starting guy like week eight. Yeah. I mean, he wasn't even the starting back to like week seven, week eight when he was finally getting the full load his first year. Where he showed flashes in the league. So like, LJ was a different animal. He was a beast.
LJ, so I'm gonna give you his stats. One good year, so. He came in for a few of the games where he had 581 yards. The very next year, 1,750 yards. The next year, 1,789 yards. LJ was at a time before all this started happening, like some of the things off the field and whatnot. LJ was on pace to become the all-time leading rusher in Chiefs history.
Yep.
And he was going to like absolutely decimate everything and from some of some sources is they didn't want that to happen because they didn't want him to be the face of the Chiefs as all-time leading rusher when you have issues and problems. I'm just going to say that. Okay. That's what I heard. I'm just, you know, I don't know how true that is. I think that, you know, it's like, wow, you want this guy? But to me, LJ was an absolute beast.
Absolute beast.
Absolute beast. You know,
John Clifford, I believe the quote was, take the diapers off.
Yes. Right? Yes. That's what Ramil said.
Yep.
Yeah. Time to grow up. We meet here. Time to grow up. Take the diapers off. You want to be a kid out here? Yeah, baby, take out the diaper. So Larry took offense to that. And as soon as he got in, that joker ran hard. And we seen what we got at Penn State, man. So
yep. Yeah. So no Larry Johnson slander on this show. We all love LJ on this show. He was amazing in Kansas City. Anything he did outside of his career, we're not talking about that. We're talking about what he did on the football field in the lines, and he's a badass.
Strictly.
Strictly football.
Yeah.
All right, so we're going to get back to the schedule here. So this is an interesting one. A lot of, as we talked about, a lot of tough matchups this year in the season. A lot of pay-per-view type matchups. I mean, some of them are pay-per-view if you talk about looking at Netflix games. But looking at the matchups, JD, Tej, which matchup are you most excited for? I have a really good one, which I don't think either one of you chose, but I'm going to let you guys go first, and I'll
matchup I'm excited for is actually the Houston Texans game.
Ooh, okay.
Yes.
Talk about it.
I want to see that a very young team, a very young, talented team that has some moxie to them, got some a little bit of charisma, some confidence, some arrogance. They're good. And I think because of DeMarco, what he's been able to do with the team, he's getting these guys prepared. I think they got a little taste of that last year, and they're saying, we're good enough to win it all. For what we have, we added another piece, a couple other pieces that they needed. But I want to see CJ Stroud, like you said, in second year against Patrick Mahomes. You know, obviously not playing, but I'm just saying Stroud and Mahomes, how they're going to be on the same field together. So, and also too, man, this is a later game, so they should all be right in the rhythm where they should be.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
It should be in the rhythm of what, hey, man, like, this is the season. Like, everybody should be crisp now. It's not like the very first of the season. Everybody know what they're doing. Game plans. We're crisp. We're going at you. We've seen everything you've been able to do. We're talking about, this is week 16. So this is going on into the playoffs.
Playoff seeding game.
Yes, it is. So that is, that's the game I want to see, man. I talked to you about, I couldn't think of a better matchup than Baltimore for the first game. I thought Houston would have been probably my second choice. I would have loved this being like that opener. It was better than Detroit was last year. I think Houston was, you know, excuse me. So that's what about y'all?
What's your
there you go.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm gonna go Ravens, and this is why. So I think they're the biggest threat in the AFC still.
Yeah.
They made a pretty good offseason. They didn't get a lot weaker. I know they lost a couple guys, but Ravens have always been a plug-and-play team. I'm not that worried about their losses. I like the matchup because I think if we beat them again, I think we might see a stigma start to form and develop that maybe in Lamar's head, he just can't beat Patrick. And if you get that into a guy's head enough times, if we face him again in the playoffs, going into it, I just can't beat this guy. I'd love to have that in his head. Now, if we lose, there's two positives for that. One, the revenge factor in the playoffs, if we face them again. Two, that game will be so far removed that the Ravens will hardly be able to take anything away from that game and use it in the playoffs, because that will be like 4 months ago. So that will be almost like if we face the Lions in the Super Bowl. Like, they can't say, well, we beat them week one when they were a completely different team. So if they do beat us, okay, that was like last year almost at this point. So I'm not that worried about it, other than it just being a great matchup. And if there's a game from the playoffs that needs a rematch, it's that game. So
it's a good choice. I was right there with it.
Yeah, I think both you guys, as far as before I get to mine, I just want to clarify here. This is the game I'm most excited for. Now, I think both the games you guys have with the Texans and Ravens, I think those games are marquee matchups. I think those are the games of the week on each given week, I would say. Obviously, it's the kickoff.
Yeah, one's a Saturday and one's opener.
100%. So, like, I think both these games are phenomenal. JD and I were talking about Houston. They should have been arguably, that could have been the first game of the season. Houston's upcoming team. Stroud's going to be the next face of the league, the younger generation face of the league. He's doing trips to Japan, trying to further the game along around the world. So, like, 100%, I think you can make a case for Houston. You can make a case for Baltimore. You can also make the case for you can make a case for a lot. Cincinnati could have been. I'm surprised that wasn't a primetime game or even the Sunday night game. Yeah, Buffalo. Yeah, I think everyone's kind of played out with those games. But for some reason, even though that Mahomes and Lamar have played with each other so many times already, I feel like it's not like they don't really brand that game enough. So I think it's a good point here, because we talked about this on Monday. I don't think they brand that game enough as the next Brady and Manning. They try to force this Josh Allen Mahomes thing down our throat for the last few years. They try to force the Joe Burrow thing down our throat Mahomes for the last few years. We haven't really heard much about Lamar Mahomes when those guys have played each other more than the other two have played Mahomes. And so, like, I don't know, maybe it's because he hasn't beaten Mahomes that often. Maybe that's why. But the fact that these two guys, they both have MVPs. Mahomes doesn't share MVPs with Josh Allen or Burrow. Lamar and Mahomes both have multiple MVPs, and I think that's the more modern day Brady Manning. So yeah, I do like that.
Real quick on that, and I think the reason is because some people just don't look at Lamar as a pure quarterback.
Yeah,
yeah,
and that's terrible to even say something like that, right? Guy has two MVPs. You don't even look at him like a true pocket passer or quarterback, right? So that's all I want to say about that. It's ridiculous.
It doesn't make any sense at all.
He might not even be the best running back on his team anymore.
It's true. It's a good point. All right. So I'm going to take this into a different direction here. If you guys have watched the show for a long time, you guys know I have an affinity for another quarterback in the league. You also know I have the affinity for Big 12 football offense. Everyone says defense wins championships, but offense wins ratings. It wins ratings and it wins views is what it does. And I'm going to take us back to 2016 Texas Tech versus Oklahoma, where that game, the Baker Mayfield Oklahoma-led Sooners won 66 over the Mahomes-led Texas Tech Red Raiders 66-59. In that game, Baker Mayfield had 545 yards passing, 7 touchdowns throwing. Our guy Patrick Mahomes had 734 yards passing, 5 passing touchdowns, 85 yards rushing, and 2 rushing touchdowns. The only time they've met in the NFL was in the playoffs where Mahomes got hurt, taken out of that game early, and Chad Henne had to come in and kind of lead a comeback over the Cleveland Browns and the Baker Mayfield Browns squad. So I'm going to fast forward to week 9, Monday Night Football of the 2024 season, where the Baker Mayfield-led Tampa Bay Buccaneers will take their squad to Kansas City to face the Patrick Mahomes-led Kansas City Chiefs. Baker Mayfield, some people said he was down and out of the league. The guy kind of, reignited himself into being the guy in Tampa. A nice home down there with Mike Evans and Chris Godwin. And then he's coming to face Patrick Mahomes. And we talk about the Big 12 aspect of things. This offseason, we've added Marquise Brown, Oklahoma guy, Big 12 guy. Well, now it's the SEC, but Hollywood Brown was a Big 12 guy. And then you add Xavier Worthy. Now they're SEC team, but again, Big 12 football. And we've added those guys to this arsenal. And now Mahomes actually has guys outside Travis Kelce to throw to. Baker Mayfield's got guys to throw to on that end. We could have potentially a kind of a mimicking of that 2016 showdown between Texas Tech and Oklahoma on Monday Night Football this coming year, week nine of this season. We got Patrick Mahomes and Baker Mayfield. I think we might have some offensive explosions this week in that game. And it's a Monday Night Football game, too. We're talking prime time, baby.
Monday Night? Is it?
Rice's suspension will probably be lifted at that point. So how about that?
We'll see.
We'll see.
Man, first off, that sounded like a basketball score. Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. Zero defense. Zero. Like, I would be livid. I'm like, everybody's fired. If I was the defense coordinator, y'all all done. Y'all all sitting. I don't care. We're bringing somebody else in for something like that. And, you know, look, I don't mean to laugh. I know you love Baker Mayfield. I'm not a big believer. I think Baker Mayfield has been getting commercials for 3 or 4 years. This sucker didn't win the house. I'm just like, why y'all keep showing these commercials? This guy, he sucks. He's horrible. I don't really say that, but he didn't live up to the hype, at least for me, to warrant the commercials. Okay, I don't want to say anybody sucked. Obviously, he's worked hard to get to where he's at. He's earned a great payday with them. Was that 3 year, $100 million, up to $115 million. So bravo for him getting that. And maybe this is the right fit for him. This is the right fit. He's matured. Good. This is going to be a good matchup because they still have, you know, he has Evans. We don't know what Godwin's going to be. We talked about that. He's got running back. What's his name? I can't think of his name right now.
Rashad White.
They got somebody else though too. They drafted someone, I think. Yeah, they did. So yeah. they're gonna be pretty good, man. They're gonna be pretty good. But I just, you know, Baker, man, he's one of those. I want the ball to be in his hand so he can blow the game at the end. So he can snap off that chin strap and look at everybody like it's a ball, you know. So.
And just think, I mean, everyone loves the at least I'm a big fan of the red and orange Skittles. Potentially, we could have the Buccaneers wearing the orange creamsicles with our red. I mean, that's a handful of red and orange Skittles right there.
We're eating candy that night.
Yeah, it's only a few days after Halloween, too, so everyone's going to have some Skittles for that. That's what I think of when I those creamsicles and potentially with our red. I mean, it's going to be red and orange. It's going to be great. But yeah, honestly, I think that could be a high scoring game. I don't know if it's going to match 66-59, but I could see some Big 12 fireworks in that game on Monday night. ESPN definitely wants it, so you know it could happen.
Yeah, hey man, you know maybe he'll come in and Freeman says Baker has a great story. He does, and he's kind of like the underdog, right? And yep. he's been out here trying to, you know, revamp his career. He's been doing it, and he's kind of gotten back on the horse, man. So
he's been humbled. I think you know, having to play for a 1 year, $4 million deal after getting cut from Carolina, and then playing with the Rams and kind of rebuilding himself, and then taking a 1 year, $4 million deal with Tampa. The way he spoke to the media was just different. He wasn't kind of this like nonstop, a chip on my shoulder kind of talk. I mean, obviously, you know, he plays like that, but it wasn't as like verbal. He wasn't like going out and saying anything. So I think he's been humbled. And I think he's matured. So I think he's not that same guy that a lot of people couldn't stand coming out of college. Yeah. Jenny, I mean, sometimes the NFL, you know, you can be humbled real fast.
Quick. It does something to a man. It absolutely does something to a man. And it's all about how guys respond to that type of adversity. Johnny Manziel, I think, was a guy that he couldn't get back you know, that luster that he had coming out, even though I thought he was, you know, incredible talent. He had everything, but he couldn't get past his own hype. He couldn't get past his own self. And so you're sitting there wondering, like, why are you in the club hanging out with OBJ and all the stars and whatnot? And you should be out here throwing balls to him.
Yeah.
You know, and you're kicking it with bottles. And look, I get it. And so, but no, good for Baker, you know, just, you know, fight through all what he had to fight through to get to where he's at right now. So,
and also to add to the matchup of the whole Baker Mahomes story, people don't know that Baker transferred from Texas Tech to Oklahoma because of this guy by the name of Patrick Mahomes. They have this new guy coming in the wings. Cliff Kingsbury pretty much let him know, hey, this guy's coming. And Baker was a walk-on, so he wasn't like a preferred guy from them. He was a walk-on who got the starting job at Texas Tech. And then they recruited this kid, Patrick Mahomes, and he knew what all of us were to find out a few years later of what talent Patrick Mahomes was.
Man.
Yeah, so like, and that also adds another element to this matchup on Monday night for week 9 of the NFL season. So it's going to be a good one.
Chris Wright, man, appreciate you, brother. Throwing the 5-hour wait, man. All love to you. Reed, appreciate you, man. Saying, guys, our favorite Chief cast. Keep it up, fellas. We will, man. We appreciate it talking this. You know, we always going to keep it 100. We're always going to keep it real.
Appreciate it, brother. Yeah. We'll get to the 3 games in 10 days in a second here, Chris, as we head to a part I think all of us are going to agree on with it being the worst part of what the schedule makers got wrong. So kind of piggybacking off this 3 games in 10 days stuff, week 15 and week 17, that's where I'm going to go with this, but you guys may have something else to say about this. But what do the schedule makers get wrong when you look at the schedule this year, especially after what we talked about last year towards the end of the season, where we were playing games against teams who had full weeks to prepare, or we were playing with short weeks? What I thought there would be kind of a correction to what happened to us at the end of the season, but it seems like there was not really a correction with that. They actually ended up making us have 3 games back-to-back where we're playing on less days than our opponents, so it's crazy. But JD, what do you got to say? And also the health risk behind this too.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. And that's really what it boils down to me is really what you're putting this team in jeopardy for. These are hard. Cleveland, Houston, and Pittsburgh. I mean, these are hard games, hard hitting teams. It's hard defenses. And so, you know, guys are going to be sore. Trying to recover and recuperate in that amount of time, man, is going to be tough to do. But like Tasia said, if anybody can do it, the Chiefs will. Okay. The Chiefs going to learn how, you know, they can do it. I think Andy will do a good job as far as, you know, trying to manage the guys that he need to. Cleveland, I mean, man, this is the end of the season too. That's what I don't like about it. It's just, you know, when you need guys to be healthy going into the playoffs and whatnot, I mean, it's vital. You don't want to, you know, you don't want to give up to something like that. And you got 2, 3, 4 AFC games. Oh man.
Yep.
I don't know. I don't know how they got to this. Really. I don't know how they validate it, justify, say, well, yeah, well, the Chiefs, this looks fine. This looks okay. There's nothing wrong with this. Somebody should have protested and say, hey man, listen, this is not fair. Like, y'all could have chose somebody else. I get, you know, us being victims to our own, you know, success and whatnot, but y'all got to take care of us too, right? There has to be somebody.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save, too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
that's going to be able to stand up on the table for us and saying, like, look, man, trying to load these guys with all of this physicality in these amount of days shouldn't happen, especially a team that's world champs. And so I don't like this at all. I don't like it at all. My thing is, the only way you can manage something like this, obviously you got you're practicing. When you play the game, guys, you immediately go to film, okay? And you just kind of go through what you have to work on. You got to work on your own stuff. You game plan. I mean, during this offseason, they've been game planning. You know, they game planning already. But, you know, immediately when you go in, what you have to do. And like I said, man, and Tage was saying, man, Houston and Pittsburgh are easily teams that are right there. So we're trying to jockeying for positions in the playoffs and whatnot. Like, all these things are vital games, you know, to each and every team they playing, man. That's why I don't like it. So,
Tasia.
Well, especially after last year, where I believe we had the most disadvantageous schedule and still won, you think we should be rewarded with, like, pulling it back. It seems like the NFL was like, oh, yeah, show off. Well, let's turn it up five notches then. Let's see how you do with three games in 10 days then.
Yeah.
And the next year we'll have like three games in like 7 days. So I don't know where that stops. It's like it's almost like we need to go to like a NBA like load management for a back-to-back.
Right.
Like that's how bad. It's like a back-to-back is what it is. It's like three games in like 5 days in the NBA.
Worked out.
It's pretty crazy. And I get we're the team that attracts a lot of new demographics and new viewers. But if our play suffers because of it, then is it worth it for them? If our play is suffering to the point where we're not putting out a good product, mm-hmm. and you're, you know, Netflix spending $150 million per game or whatever the ridiculous number is, like, are you going to be pissed off? Like, well, what good is the Chiefs if they're like, you know, lunch meat by the time they get to us? Like, well, I want a fresh team. I don't want this. I want a team that's ready and prepare for this game.
Mm-hmm.
So they're paying for the best of the Chiefs, not the possible worst of the Chiefs. You know,
absolutely. You don't want these guys limping in at any point where somebody's banged up or a little bit. Right, and you just kind of taking advantage of it because the schedule in itself puts you in that, you know, the fate of it. That's, you know, and I just, man, because you know now we're at the end of the season. I'm going to tell you how we approach it. Dick Vermeil's a little bit different. Oh, man. But we would, you know, to start sitting guys back, okay? You've had a long season. Start taking some of the plays off for guys to start getting in. This would be for the younger guys to kind of get, you know, their all their practice time in. But these guys, I mean, they're in the ice tub. They're in their backs are hurting. You know, they're taking medicine. Like, you don't, your sleep is not the same anymore. And this is where, like, the bumps and the bruises. So I'm thinking about a 35-year-old Travis Kelce, okay? Hopefully Chris Jones stays healthy the entire time.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, we're talking about a guy who's got double teamed more than anybody else in the league. And this is what we got to go up against. So we seen how tired he was, you know, in the playoffs when, hey, we need one more from you. Right. Chris is like, gosh. Okay. Charles will be back by that time, but you're relying on the younger guys to kind of come in, and hopefully they've been able to grow, get some depth to them, where they can take some reps, because it is load management. I mean, that's what it has to be.
We might see that in the NFL finally, which is crazy.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know what other approach you have to. I mean, shoot, I'm not going. You think I'm gonna throw Travis Kelce in there and have him play every snap and every down in these three games? Now with
the playoffs around the corner.
Oh, never.
Unless we need those games because we, you know, lost some games we shouldn't have lost. Then we're just, all right, guys, sorry, man. Hey, and maybe they're telling their team that early on the season, hey, guys, when we play three games in like 8 days later on in the season, I want to be able to rest you a little bit. So win these damn games now so we can have those games to take off a little bit later on in the season.
Right, right. Sorry. Charles Driver said it right there. Injuries at that time of the year is murder. We got screw with injuries killing us in the Super Bowl. I don't want to remember that. That's true. That's, I mean, man.
And it's bullshit because how is Kelce going to make some of Taylor Swift's concerts?
Yeah.
He's got no time off here.
Yeah. How's he going to get on the private jet, the PJs flying out
there? This is crap.
Yeah.
I mean, the fact they're playing on every day of the week next year besides Tuesday is kind of wild.
Yeah.
I mean, and also, too, like, we played on the Super, we played on our Christmas Day last year, and now we're playing on a wet. Also, too, I'm thinking about the Chief Concerns, our episode schedules next year. It's going to be all over the place, guys.
Oh, yeah.
Our post game shows Wednesday, Friday, Thursday, all over the place.
Putting those calendars to work.
But, like, I just think it's interesting how, like, they're. It's kind of what you, in your opener where you talked about how, like, the NFLs are trying to find ways to put us on TV and make these things exclusive to, you know, if you want to watch.
We're being pimped out.
Yeah. That's
what it is. We're being pimped out.
Mm-hmm. That's
world tour.
Right. Give me one more performance. I just need one more dance. Like, geez. Okay.
I'm surprised they also didn't throw us in other countries while we're at it.
Yeah. Could you imagine?
Maybe that was it. Maybe we're like, all right, you got, we're going to screw you in scheduling, or we put you international. You pick. Mm-hmm. What do you want? What would you rather have?
Man, there'd be no way. There'd be no way I'd go for it. I'm like, I don't care what we need to do, but we got to switch that up.
Yep.
DeMonte Green Bean says, now, JD, if they run the slate on the schedule, what can anyone else say about this team? Seems as if the throne is afoot. I can't say anything. We're talking about a juggernaut of a schedule. Probably the toughest that you'll see to get to the three-peat. You'll have to give this team, Patrick Mahomes, those guys, you had to give them their flowers. You had to sit there and say, man, this is the team, a dynasty of the ages. They're right up there with the best of, first off, they're going to do something that nobody else will be able to do. So they're going to go on history for one, but this has to be the greatest run in the history of football, I would say.
Yeah.
For the simple fact, because you had to take everything in factor, right? Maybe I'm being hyperbolic, but I think you had to consider this. You had to consider it, right? Especially sitting there saying these three games like it is, and you know what guys had to, you know, run through. Heck, they kept throwing people up, like you said, Marcus. Heck, you throw Joe Burrow up. He's the next guy. Justin Herbert, he's the next guy, right? You know, Josh Allen, he's the next guy. Where's Aaron Rodgers at? He's in it. I mean, everybody is supposed to beat the Chiefs, and it never happened, you know?
Yeah.
Just never happens. So, you know, I'll say that, so.
I do think with the load management stuff you guys are talking about, and DeMonte Green's, they can load manage early. I do think if this is the case, especially going towards the end of the season, if we are winning games, even if we're like beating teams by three possessions with like a quarter left, I could see them starting to spell guys a little bit more and kind of like rest guys. We're up three touchdowns, about 10 minutes left in the game. I could see them like Andy spelling our guys when it gets to that point. With three scores, it may not seem like enough, but like three scores, we're about to play this three games in 10-day window. Like, all right, let's get it out. Or we come out on fire first half, take care of business, where it's like, you know, we put it out of reach, and then you start spelling guys from the halftime on out. I mean, I think we will see that maybe a more of an emphasis on the first half of taking care of business from the gate, not playing these four quarter comeback, but you know, kind of things with Pat, like we tend to do, where we try to keep it close in the first half, and in the second half we take it up a notch. I think we're gonna have to ignite it in some way.
If you do, I think you have to pick and choose the games that you do it in, right? I don't know if you could do it early, because I still don't think that will change the outcome toward later on. Because it's not really about just the load management early. I'm thinking it's just about the type of physical demands that you had to do later anyway, yeah, right? Mm-hmm. So it's like, hey, well, shoot, we're fine early, and, you know, we take them out. You still got to go through this juggernaut at the end of the game, at the end of the season, you know? You still got to get beat up toward the end. And so, like you said, if we're wherever we are as far as wins and losses, and it's vital that now all of a sudden, like, we got to play.
Yeah.
Do you spend a Travis Kelce at the end just to get into the playoffs? Now he's spent. Like, it's, well, shoot, now you done crushed the guy. You know what I mean? Just to get in. So I don't know, man. I get that part. I get, you know, maybe doing it because we have a capable guy with Carson Wentz. Okay. All right. We got capable tight ends.
We have depth.
We got depth.
We have depth all over the field.
We do. So that is without a doubt a possibility. But like you said, man, we got to shoot. It's got to be 3 touchdowns or better. And, you know, 4th quarter, you got to have a commanding lead.
I think it has to be emphasis this year of getting on teams early. Because, I mean, too many times the last few years, it's like we like playing these close games, so we have to pick it up at the end. It's like, nah, not with the schedule that they're giving us at the end of the season, guys. We need to, like, get on teams right out the gate. Don't play around with anybody. Get on right out the gate.
Amenahu and Rice will be nice and rested and fresh.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Get them back in rhythm where they need to be. So there is a way. There is a way. So,
yeah. All right. So we're going to head to our final topic here. So it's our, as we mentioned in the beginning, we usually do our chief concerns, real predictions after training camp, about a week before the start of the season. So this is the initial look. So this is us pretty much looking at the schedule and being like, okay, this is what our record is as of right now. We can change it. JD can change it. Tayshia can change it. And I can change it before the season begins. But this is our super early look, initial look at the schedule and our early prediction. So JD, what's your super early prediction for the other Chiefs?
I see us with this 13-4.
Okay.
I see 13-4.
We're the 4.
Yeah, that's me.
Well, I thought you had the 4 games in mind.
Well, I do, but I didn't really. Okay,
you
so
on the record for that yet?
No, I don't. No, I don't.
Yeah, but, I know. Yeah,
geez, do I? Marcus, at least you're 4. Who are we gonna lose to?
Well, I'm curious because I have scoring 15-2. My 2 were Houston and Atlanta are my 2.
Okay.
So you have a letdown game.
Yeah.
Okay. I was going to ask what we thought our letdown games were going to be, but there you go.
So my 4 is San Fran.
Okay.
I have
write it down, Marcus. Make sure you take notes of this one. Let's get JD's let's get it on record. Get tattooed on my arm.
Yeah. So maybe San Fran, have Buffalo.
Okay.
I have the Raiders.
Wow.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And I have Steelers at the end of the season.
Wow.
Okay, yeah. For me, it was Pittsburgh or Houston of one of those games at the end of the season. Interesting.
I think we get, you know, Steelers, whatever. We don't really need the momentum going into it. That might be the low management. Like, these guys in, you know, whatever. We know, you know, we're setting ourselves up where we need to be. But we can easily be 14-3. I can see 14-3. So I do believe, because I know the Raiders are always going to play us hard. It's always going to be a hard game. That it's always going to come down to the wire. They just not going to allow us to get out of it. San Fran, I do believe, kind of early, they're going to be running all the stuff. They're going to run everything they could possibly run, especially keep everybody in. That will be their revenge game for them. Oh, we beat the Chiefs now. Okay, that don't really count, but, you know, whatever.
Take it, yeah.
Take it, yeah, okay. So
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save, too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
But that's what I have.
Yeah, so I'll just quickly. So I was going 15-2, two games. I was losing to Atlanta and Houston. Atlanta just being because we're going through Baltimore to start the season. Then we're going to Cincinnati. So we have those two games, or they're both home games, but we're playing those two games, and it's kind of like not a letdown. Is it a letdown game? Losing to Atlanta would be a letdown. I'd be very pissed off about it. But it's like kind of like a coming off that, all right, two playoff-type battle teams, and then Atlanta away on Monday night. You know, a game that they're going to be up for because it's going to be their barometer test. Like, oh, are we actually a legit team with Cousins now? We've been saying all we needed was a quarterback. We have Cousins now. Can we actually contend with the best of the best? At home, Monday night in Atlanta. I think that could be a game that I could see us losing just based on Baltimore, Cincinnati, and then coming back down and playing a team inferior to us. And then my other game was, it was close between Houston or Pittsburgh. I went with Houston just, you know, 4 days ahead. We're playing Pittsburgh on Christmas Day. I feel like we're going to put a lot of emphasis on Christmas Day this year because we lost on Christmas Day last year. I feel like Andy's going to be like, hey, like, guys, Christmas is coming up, but it's that we're not going to do what we did last year on Christmas. We're going to win that game on Christmas. And I feel like we're going to have more of a, not a look ahead to Pittsburgh, more so a look ahead to that holiday game that we lost last year. And they're going to want to kind of redeem themselves by winning this Christmas this year. And in doing so, we're going to lose to the up and coming Houston Texans on that, that week 16 game. So that was my rationale behind that. So what are your,
I was split between two different records. I'm going to go 12-5.
Oh, wow.
I think we split the opening games, either a loss to Ravens or a loss to Bengals. That's one.
Wait. Yeah,
you got. Well, I think the exact one.
Yeah, we both did. We both were on
record. You had me do it. So.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, you didn't give me any ethers. I mean, you gave me a couple of ethers. I would have been okay with it. All right, I'm gonna say we lose to the Ravens, beat the Bengals.
Okay.
Niners.
Okay.
Bills.
Okay.
I think we split with the Raiders, so you can go either way on that, whatever you want to say.
All right.
See, the last one, I think we're going to lose one in that 10-day stretch.
Yeah.
I don't think it's about the team. I just think it's about, like, I think it's almost impossible to win three games in 10 days. Right. I don't know who it's going to be. I can give you a team. I mean, it's the easiest to say. See, it's probably not going to be the most obvious one. I'll go Houston. Even though it's, yeah, I don't know.
Interesting. Both you guys are buying the Antonio Pierce Raiders. Both you guys are on that.
I just think we split with one of our division teams. It's not that crazy.
Yeah, it wouldn't. Yeah, I don't. The Chargers, like you said, I think they still got to rebuild a lot around them. They'll compete with us, but they're just not ready. Raiders is a little bit more like game ready, and because of the receiving core and whatnot, I think they'll do all right. I think they'll embody Antonio Pierce enough that for them, they beat us one time, they are happy. They are like, oh, hell yeah, here we go. Raiders, yeah. Like, so that's
you should have gone 14-3 because if we're 15-2. We're probably running away with it, and we'll probably sit everyone against Denver and lose that game.
I'm buying Carson Wentz. Dude. You saw Carson Wentz.
I'm buying Carson Wentz.
Carson Wentz went and beat San Francisco last year when they were playing for that game at the end of the season. Carson Wentz, man.
I don't know. Yeah, let's ask JD.
sitting half our squad, our B squad against Sean Payton's Denver last game of the season.
Carson Wentz, man of the ship. He can do it for one.
Yeah, see, look at JD.
Carson is a very capable quarterback.
It's not just Carson, though. It's our mostly backups across the board.
Sure. No, I get it. I think some of those guys, like the young guys, you make them play. Wide receivers, look, you'll be fine. Like, you can come in. Travis Kelce rests. Maybe Chris Jones. Something, like the guys that need to rest will rest, okay? Maybe the load management on Pacheco as well. Hey, we don't need for you to come in and tote the rock. CH or the other guy, sure. But I think if our defense just plays solid, they'll do all right. We'll have to see Bo Nix, what he looks like the first time against us.
Yeah.
But I do think that Pittsburgh game might be the one, like, all right, okay. So
we might be getting the wrong division game too, because if there's one team that we probably want to beat more than the other teams, it's the Raiders. They've been talking a lot. I could see us being chippy for those games. If you want to go an underdog team to beat us, I may maybe go Chargers, because no matter how bad they play this year, if they beat us, that's their highlight.
Yeah.
That's their Super Bowl right there. And nothing else this season would have mattered if they beat us.
Right.
The season's a success, because Harbaugh can build his entire offseason off beating us one game, even if the record is 5-12.
Yeah, he'll hang his hat on that, saying, look, we're
see, going down see what the right we can do. See what we can do when we play things the right way.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, and also, too, I can see Denver pulling out a win against us. I mean, they did beat us last year with Russell Wilson, and Bo Nix is his guy that Trump ain't talking about. Then I could see Denver pulling it out. I mean, our division, Chargers looked like trash last year, but they're at second half of the season, they kind of waved the white flag. But, I mean, it's a tough division, although we've owned it for the past decade. It's a tough division nonetheless. All these teams are gunning for us for what, like you said, they want that marquee win on the season to make themselves feel better about
100%
where the direction the franchise is going. So, I mean, it's always gonna be a battle regardless of who it is, Carolina, Denver, Jacksonville. It's always gonna be tough.
If you're on the hot seat and you beat the Chiefs, that seat's a lot cooler. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, no question.
Let's not forget the whole Antonio Pierce can actually be our head coach. Started, I think, with us. Didn't it?
Yeah, that was the big one.
Yeah, that was it. I mean, like, right. He can really thank us for being the head coach right now to a certain degree.
Absolutely. Yeah. So he proved it. So that'd buy you some time for sure.
Yeah, so. I think they lost Indianapolis the following week after beating us. So, like, it was that became a big thing. The hype became around Antonio Pierce, then they lose to Indianapolis the following week, and then it was like, okay, well, is he our guy? The whole team wanted him still, so – And then ironically, they end up signing the quarterback who beat him the following week in Gardner Minshew, who's probably gonna be their starting quarterback this year. Yep. So it's gonna be interesting. But so I like it. So we got 13-4, 12-5, 15-2. So that's our super early predictions. We will be doing another episode when it's a week before the season starts, where it's the official lock it in JD's prediction for the season, the official one. This is just the schedule release day one.
Early.
Super early. But all right. Well, it looks like we had a packed group chat tonight, guys. So again, thank you guys for working with us this week to be on at a late night for our shows this week. It really helped. It really helped me out in this whole California the time difference here. And JD, I appreciate you as always, brother.
Hey man, I'm here for you, brother. You know that. So I appreciate it. I appreciate it more that you're out there with your brother right now with Taze. And man, dude. I'm so happy. I feel so happy, man. It's brotherly love. Me being a youngest brother, and I got, seven older brothers. It's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing, man. But I want to say thank you to everybody that came in and chat for us tonight, too. Y'all right. Been an absolute trooper dealing with us and stuff, man. Appreciate it, John Clifford. Thank you, my brother.
Appreciate it.
Gary Charles, Ozzy, Green Man, DeMonte Beans, Lewis, Nikki M.
LRZ.
Yeah.
Green man.
So, now we appreciate you. I'm DeBrian. I think you bounced out on us. Everybody else, Ricky, Reef, all y'all guys, Trey L, Gary, appreciate y'all, you know, more than y'all know, really.
Yeah.
Thank you for coming out.
Yeah, you guys make it every night. We do the live streams. I mean, we used to do pre-recorded shows, and then JD and I were like, you know, let's go live stream so everyone can see us, you know, do our work right in prime time. You guys can contribute to the conversation. You guys have made our shows that much better doing the live shows. And so, yeah, we really appreciate all you guys' input and engagement and everything. John Clifford, where in Cali? So Monday I was in Riverside with my girlfriend's family. And today I'm in Santa Monica with this guy. And then Friday I'll be in Long Beach for a friend of mine's wedding. So, pretty much the SoCal
area. He's on tour like the end of the Chiefs season.
Yeah, pretty much. All right, guys. Well, we hope everybody enjoyed the episode. We hope everybody, you know, listens to our picks here. Don't place any bets yet, guys. Don't do that yet. No futures bets. Wait for as we get closer, so we can predict the actual schedule with everything. But we hope you guys enjoy the episode. We hope you guys enjoy your weekend, and we will see you guys on Monday.
Definitely love you, brothers, man. Y'all be good. Have a good time. Enjoying each other. Loving each other.
Love you too, brother.
Love you, man. See y'all.
Love you guys. Have a good night, everybody. Hi, everybody. Thanks for watching. Subscribe here to get the latest from the show. Also, be sure to check out the best clips from Chief Concerns. And if you prefer to listen to the show, subscribe and follow us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.